You may be seated. God bless you. I was expecting us to flow with that prayer. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. From verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus, whom God has made unto us righteousness, wisdom, sanctification, redemption. I need to explain this scripture to us. The Bible says that the Father has made Christ unto us to be wisdom. Are you with me? Stay with me. The Father has made Christ in us to be wisdom. The Father has made Christ in us to be sanctification, separation, holiness. Now, so according to the scriptures, it is Christ in you that is sanctification. It is Christ in you that God has made redemption. It is Christ in you that God has made wisdom. Now, you would think that the list ends with the items that were mentioned therein. The list continues. Now, the way God works is that Christ happens to be an immortal personality, a personality that cannot be depleted, cannot be reduced, cannot reduce in quality, cannot reduce in capacity, cannot reduce in stature. And God the Father decided by an act of his authority that this Christ will be unto us. You see, the basis upon which we can experience God is through this Christ. Hallelujah. Now, he is an immortal person, but the Father decided that he will be the basis upon which we have spiritual experiences. Now, God has made him unto us wisdom. Now, what is wisdom? Wisdom, what is it? Brother Jude, what is wisdom?
Wisdom is having a knowledge and knowing how to administer that knowledge.
All right, let's. Brother Jude spoke like a scientist. Let's bring it home. First of all, wisdom is directive. It's directive. The Bible says wisdom is profitable to direct. There are times in life where we are short of direction. And direction is not a function that you can acquire from the faculties of human wisdom. Direction is tied to God. And the Bible is saying that God has made this Christ unto us wisdom. So, if I am short of direction, for instance, I go to Christ and Christ becomes wisdom unto me. He provides the wisdom that I need as a supplement for my consistent work with God, for my consistent engagement of destiny. Now, the Bible says, just in case you are in a situation and you need saving, you need to be saved. You see, there are various levels of savings. The Bible says, with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him there is plenteous redemption. Plenteous redemption. Now, I was in a vehicle in Lagos, a bus, and we navigated from mile two, under the bridge in mile two, for those of you that know Lagos. And as we were cruising down, heading towards Orile, the driver stepped on the brakes. That was when I discovered we didn't have brakes. He stepped on the brakes very hard, and the car was still gliding as much as it was. So in that situation, I needed saving. So I had to turn to the Lord and cry out to Him. And while I was crying out, the guy that was sitting, because we were sitting at the front, we were the ones that knew what was happening. The guys at the back did not even know. They didn't have a clue. So I cried out to God. The guy sitting by my side now told the driver, because the road had this divider, road divider. He now told the driver, take your tire and climb on the divider. You know the kind of dividers in Lagos now, those tall ones, not this type here. He said, do as if you want to. Just roll on it. It will give you brakes. So the guy now did that. And he was able to stop the vehicle. So two of us now dropped. Now, you see, that my prayer has worked. As I spoke to Christ, Christ manifested that wisdom. The person that picked up the wisdom was the guy here. And he lended that wisdom to the driver. And when that went to work, the castor. And the Bible says that this Christ, God has made Him wisdom to us. So just in case you arrive at a crossroad and you don't know what to do, and meanwhile, not knowing what to do is part and parcel of our humanity. Yes, the function of knowing what to do has not been given unto our humanity. You have to source that function from another source. You have to source direction from another source. And the Bible is saying that God the Father has made this Christ wisdom. It doesn't matter how confused you claim you are and the alternatives that you have on the table that are available for exploration. If those alternatives that you want to explore, if none of them has its bearing in Christ, if it not come from Him that is in your spirit man, that your venture is a venture into doom, because it is not established in God. It's only that which is born of God that has the capacity to overcome the world. Now, God calls us in this day to really understand the circumference and the center of divine truth. The circumference and the center of divine truth is Christ. And God decided that Christ will be the center of all things pertaining to the Christian life when He made this Christ to be all things unto us. So that list you saw in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30 is by no means exhaustive. By no means exhaustive. Now, we can teach a lot of things using the Bible. We can teach giving, we can teach prayer. So many teachings. We can teach faith. But if you are a proper student of the New Testament, there should be no teaching that you would teach that is excluded or exclusive from Christ. When you teach prayer, you teach prayer as a component, as a possibility that finds expression given the resources of Christ. Muslims fast. What's the difference between the fasting of a Muslim and the fasting of a Christian? Muslims claim to pray and they claim to pray 3-5 times in a day. What's the difference between the fasting and the prayer of a Muslim and the fasting and prayer of a Christian? It is Christ. Christ is what gives potency to our prayers. Christ is what makes our prayers to be able to influence things in the realm of the spirit. It's the office of the Christ that actually provide an administrative infrastructure for us to be able to reach the Father. Now, this Christ. So if I want to teach prayer, and I teach prayer exclusive of Christ, I am not a New Testament teacher. Because the bearing, the source, the foundation of everything in the New Testament is tied to that immortal personality that God has decided to make unto us all things. I know you are hearing it as doctrine, but I pray it will make more sense to you, much more than mere doctrine. It took a lot of many years of Bible study for me to realize that the sum total of the revelation of the Bible is about Christ, the immortal individual that God had given unto us to be all things unto us. And this Christ actually is domiciled on a throne of power in the heavens. He is sitting on an administrative throne, and what he administers is the essence, the life of God, the administration of the life of God in us. He's the one that knows that. You know why we're praying here? When I came in, the energy level you were operating on when I came in, after a while it changed. The reason why you began to spit out more fire was because there was an additional supply of the Spirit of God into your spirit man. So you could function on a higher energy level. And all of those things that you were manifesting today was because there was an administration that was established to oversee the release, the impartation of life. It is that administration that is the office that is occupied by this great Jesus, who is the Christ. And the Bible says, God has made him unto us. That means you cannot experience the Father except you have experienced Christ. Because it is Christ that has been made unto us all things. Not the Father. But who? Christ. He was made so. And the reason why he was made so, and the procedure by which he was made so, was an act of God's authority. God decided that he will be all things to us. Now, having known that, I need to pick another scripture quickly. He will be all things to us. You know, while I was teaching, I made us understand that God created us purposely with infirmities, with weaknesses, with insufficiencies. If you are able to live a full 24-hour day without stumbling on your weaknesses, your insufficiencies, and your limitations, then you are a very strong man. Hallelujah. Your weaknesses stare you in the face every day. And you were created like that by default. Yes. And the reason why you were created like that, as we have seen in the Bible studies we did during the conference, is that God intended that you will find completeness in his spirit. That's where completeness is. And so the Bible says that the Spirit of God helps our infirmities. That's where completeness is. It means that by design, and I need you to understand that it's the Spirit of God that is operating, managing, deputizing in the office of Christ, as it has to do with his unique branch in your own human spirit. For instance, yes, your human spirit. Now that you are born again, your human spirit is one of the branches of the offices of that Christ. So that Christ has a branch office in your human spirit. And the branch office that is in your human spirit is operated by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the one that is steering the office of the Christ in your human spirit. Is that clear? Now, so this Holy Spirit happens to be the personality that God has made available to complete you. To complete your infirmity. So at any point in time that you find any form of insufficiency whatsoever, It is that personality that was ordained by God to complete you. Whether your own need is in the area of wisdom, whether your own need is in the area of saving, you will find that there are several things that are stronger than you naturally that will come upon you. You need saving. Now, if your need at the time is saving, that need will be met in the spirit that was designed to complete you. He is the one that operates the office of the Christ in your human spirit. Good. Now, so there is a positive reason for suffering. It's not every suffering that is negative. And it's not every suffering that is from the devil. There are some measures, some kinds of suffering that God permits to come your way, because it is designed to accomplish a positive thing. Now, why did I raise this issue of suffering? You see, because of our insufficiency in our mortal framework, all right, it will take some pressure, external pressure, some situation, external situation, some emotional conditions, some breakdowns in your emotion, for you to find a need to take advantage of the resource that is available in the support system of the spirit that God has built into your ecosystem to complete that ecosystem. Now, there are many of you here that will not be here if you did not suffer a particular kind of affliction. So God made us limited here, and then he now released that which will complete us into our spirit. You will not, it is not human nature for you to look to your spirit for support, except you have come to a point where you find out that all the other alternatives you have in view proved abortive. So you now turn to God as last resort. That's a good place to start. At least you started. You were able to turn to the Lord. It's very difficult. It takes courage to turn to the Lord. It takes courage. But see, in your turning to the Lord, you have afforded God an opportunity to give you experiential dimensions of his reality. Are you with me? All right. Let me use a scripture to say this. After using that scripture, then I can now show you the difference between faith and obedience. I will show you the scope, what the teacher of faith is likely to achieve in the lives of people, and what the teacher of obedience is likely to achieve in the lives of people. The key scripture is Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. What I'm teaching is inspired by what Shala said. Shala said that a preacher said, "I know what Jesus has given me." We'll come there. And it doesn't matter what people think about him. He knows what Jesus has given him. That means such a person has dealt with Christ sufficiently to find security in Christ. Yes. He knows the operation of Christ in him because he has been depending on Christ for a very long time. So the Spirit of Christ has begun to reveal to him the capacities that are available inside of him. You will never become a strong man until you learn how to lean on that facility that God has made available, because he is designed to be everything to the believer. Hallelujah. Now, so we should not teach faith in isolation of him. Because if you know him, you will have faith. But you can be practicing faith without knowing him. And your faith is going to be defective, because it is him operating in you that furnishes the substance of faith. That substance that faith is, it is the operation of the Spirit of God as he stirs that office within your heart that he furnishes faith. So faith transcends conviction. Faith transcends verity. Faith transcends a strong consolation. Faith has its roots in a person, just like grace has its roots in a person. And faith, grace is regulated by a throne. You know, the Bible says that we should come boldly unto the throne of grace. Grace is actually a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ in his work of sacrifice and substitution. And so if we teach grace without teaching Jesus, we are actually doing a teaching and not introducing a person. And if you do that, you have people that know about God, but they will not know God. So because they will not know God, they will not be able to make that statement that that pastor made, that I know what Jesus has given me. It's only people that know God that can make that kind of a statement. So if you sit under a pastor that knows about God, he will tell you a lot about God. But if you sit under somebody that knows God, he can teach you how to know God. If you know about God, he can teach, you can talk, you can make statements about God. But if you know God, that's a different thing altogether. And the way people are taught to know God is that Christ must be laid out as the centrality of the Christian experience. For the Bible says that God has made him unto us wisdom, salvation, redemption, sanctification, and the list goes on and on. Now, look at your life now. What do you need? The needs that are obvious around your life. Can you pick one or two? There are needs there. Obvious needs around your life. Or you have no need. I have a lot of needs. I have a lot of needs. Hallelujah. In fact, the way we were wired in mortality, we're wired to be needy people. So if you deny that you don't have need, maybe you are not alive. But if you are alive, you are a bag of needs. You are a modicum of needs. Alright? Now, God wants us to eventually discover that he is actually the solution to all of that need. But you never know how he solves those problems and how he becomes a solution to all of that need if you don't make him your stronghold. In the book of Philippians chapter 6 verse 4, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. I think it's 6 verse 4. Or 4 verse 6. 4 verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Now, see, that scripture reveals two possibilities. First of all, there was a situation on ground that led to that is inviting you into anxiety. So there's a situation here. And then this is anxiety. So this situation that is pressing upon you, it has a tendency to lead you to the corridor of anxiety. Are you still with me? Alright. Okay. Let's talk about practical problems. House rent. And then the house rent comes, and then the landlord sends you a text message. The kind of text message he sends you once a year. And if you know his ways very well, you know that that text message is not a means of checking up on you. He is aware you are still alive. But the text message is sending a message that is not captured in text. And then he sends the message. And then you were okay before the text message came. The moment the text message came, it affected your psychology. Your delicate balance was distorted. You began to feel vulnerable. You began to see that is anxiety try to hijack the circumstance. Please, I'd like us to define the circumstance. What is the problem here? House rent. Exactly. Problem is what? House rent. Good. Now, so, the guy was okay before the text message showed up. When the text message showed up, suddenly, psychologically, he was affected. He began to feel vulnerable. And then started thinking about it. And then as he was thinking about it, his son now ran and touched him. So he now sees the son too. His problems now multiply. So this one too is exposed on the account of this situation. And then anxiety is beginning to come in. Without an invitation, anxiety took advantage of house rent. And it's coming already. It's already coming. You didn't invite him, but it's coming. He has seized the moment. Now, he begins to speak, begins to show you how vulnerable you are. And then suddenly you begin to worry. The taste of food is no longer what it used to be. And all of that. And then worry. When your phone rings, you will think it's the landlord. The blood pressure is going up.
But what is the initial problem? House rent. At the end of the day, we see that this believer has high blood pressure. The spirit of anxiety will open the door to so many other things. And at the end of the day, even if somebody comes and pays your house rent, the problem that came through anxiety will still be there for you to be nursing. So you now discover that anxiety actually is a sign that you are under demonic attack. And so there is a commandment, and it's a stern commandment. He said, be anxious for nothing. So when the anxiety is coming, there is another recommendation. There's another recommendation here. So if we are not going to go this way into anxiety, we are going to go this way. So what is the other option? He said, be anxious for nothing. Do well to close the door to anxiety. And then he said, in all things, through prayer and supplication, coupled with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. Now, so this guy has shut down the anxiety. It doesn't happen instantly. As he's even doing the prayer, there's still anxiety in him. He's under attack. And the devil took advantage of the situation in order to bring pressure on him. Now, this is what I'm trying to say. Because we're created with infirmities, when you are under pressure, the likely reaction that is going to come from you is this way, anxiety. Because we're created with infirmities. There's insufficiency in our natural makeup, in our fallen disposition. And the devil is aware of that. So when you come under pressure, when there is pressure, and if you decide to put your mind to the pressure, that becomes a portal through which the spirit of anxiety now enters into your mental faculty, and it begins to think its thoughts through your thoughts. You would think you are the one thinking, but it's a demon that is thinking through your thoughts. And the thing about demons is that they come in gangs. There is one that you submit to because it's as if the situations made you vulnerable to that particular spirit. And the spirit now comes and begins to operate your mind. And then he opens the door to other spirits, such that if the problem that led to the opening to the first spirit is even solved, you see how the spiritual problem. And so the Bible says, be anxious. Don't open the door to anxiety. However, when you come face to face with challenging situations, your reaction should be that you should focus on the Lord in prayer. Now, I want you to understand something. Are you still with me? All right, I want you to understand something. The Bible says, God has made this Christ unto us wisdom, salvation, redemption, sanctification. When you decide to turn your face toward the Christ, and you begin to drink of Christ, and begin to drink of Him, and begin to report to Him, and begin to tell Him your insufficiencies, how that your son is not secure under this circumstance, just keep pouring. A time comes when the Spirit of Christ will respond to your petition. And the way the Spirit of Christ will do it is that He will release a peace. A peace that passes all understanding. That is the inoculation against anxiety. When you have this peace, that demon of anxiety will no longer have authority over your soul. So experientially, that your adventure of prayer has brought you to a point where you came into contact with a kind of peace that you cannot explain. It's beyond your understanding. But that peace was a garrison. It was a burglary. A burglary for your mind and heart. It was a shield that kept anxiety at bay. So experientially, for that believer, Christ is peace. So peace, the peace that Christ is, which He has imparted into your heart, was the answer to the spirit called anxiety. So you have had an experience. So when you are talking about that peace, you are not talking about it just because you read it from the Bible. It is something you have experienced. Good. Now, so that scripture is teaching us that if we are going to experience Christ, who God has made all things unto us, we are going to exploit, we are going to have to exploit the window of prayer when we come under pressure and our humanity is insufficient concerning a matter. I know this is basic doctrine. Most of you know this one. But you see, what many of us may not know is that if you have been in a situation where you are consistently perplexed and consistently you run to God and consistently God gives you that peace, a time will come when you have confidence in that peace. And you are sure that if I turn to Him now, He will give me that peace. And that peace will take care of the way I feel. It is when God has been able to change you because He supplied an experience of Himself to you. And you are living in that experience, even though the circumstance doesn't change, but you are living in that experience of being shielded from the demons that want to exploit the circumstance to bring affliction to you. When you are living in that experience, you are actually living by faith. That peace made it possible for you to be stabilized and to hope on God. You were no longer a victim of the spirit that was seeking to exploit the circumstance. Notice that God has not touched the circumstance yet. It's you who is touched. Because His emphasis is always you. Meanwhile, your emphasis for God is always things. But God's emphasis for you, is you. So He came and administered peace to you. And in the midst of the circumstances that have not changed, they did not have the ability to control you anymore because there was a part of Christ, a reality in Christ that was imparted into your human spirit. And you began to fellowship with that reality experientially. Now, if you normally run to that stronghold and He normally administers that peace, and there are many things that you will know that the person that has not explored that part as much may not know. One of the things you will know is that God is reliable. Now, most of you here, some of you pray a lot, but you have not even come to that place in your walk with God where experientially you have discovered that God is reliable. You have not known Christ yet. You are still like a feather that things can... I have this guy, he came here many times, he said he wants to be my son. I said, okay, I accept you. And the sign that I accepted you is that I've given you my phone number. But don't call me. Buy a phone that has WhatsApp. Tell me your problem. Leave it. It might even be there for 2 weeks. After the 2 weeks, when I have inspiration, I will start talking to you. But I would ensure that I will not be responding in the flesh. I will respond by the mind of God. Then we started. After 6 months, the guy said, this is my no job condition, my no job. I wake up in the morning, I see my wife, I pity her. So I was privileged to be invited for a conference in Abuja, and surprisingly, he stays in Abuja. He was in the conference. My message changed when I saw him. My message changed to this scripture. Be thou anxious for... So I now took a board and analyzed the challenge. I analyzed the situation. Analyze it. See, he has deprived himself of experiencing Christ. This same Christ that God the Father has made unto us all things. He has deprived himself from experiencing Him, so he has no confidence. It means he has been a Christian for long, a wasteful Christian. He has wasted his challenges, wasted his pressures, wasted his trials, and his trials and challenges, which are supposed to be baits that will lead you to the rock that cannot be moved. He wasted them with anxiety. I'm surprised that he's not hypertensive. I think that's the mercy of God. Because I've not seen a man that worries like that guy. If he wakes up and he sees a feather on his doorpost, you start typing. I saw a bad omen, Pastor. A strange omen. And he's worrying about feather. There is no way you can help a believer. No. A believer that is tuned to the FM stereo of anxiety cannot be helped. Don't even try. And I'm telling you by experience. My experience today is 27 years. Yes. 27 years. It has gone beyond that. I gave you a very moderate range. Very moderate range. You can't help a man that is tuned to the station of anxiety. That man has accepted that he will never find security in Christ Jesus. He's looking at the weather, and his response is based on what is in the weather. He cannot be helped. Don't even attempt helping him. And that kind of person is the guy that will book time for counseling every time you open your doors for counseling. You'll be the first on the line. Don't waste your time. You cannot help an anxious man. But you can help a man that has turned to prayer. And then he is beginning to experience Christ, but he doesn't know. So you cannot guide him as it. See, that peace, when that peace came, were you still feeling the psychological experience of exposure? Then the person will now realize that, oh, it's true, when the peace came, I felt stable. But the person will not know that that stability is actually Christ is experiencing as peace. Meanwhile, Christ as peace was not captured in the four items that were mentioned about Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 30. That is an unending list. Because David had some other experiences of Christ that are not there. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Now, these are experiences that people had in Christ Jesus, and they were personal experiences, and they now identify the Lord as that. My question is this. Have you really experienced the Lord? What was he to you? If you cannot label your experiences of Christ, you are not in a good school. You are in evening school in the spirit. Because a believer is supposed to be a good student of his experience of Christ. That is what gives you confidence that if you go tomorrow, you can fetch that same thing that you experienced yesterday. Now, so when we begin to pray, peace comes. You see that anxiety lost its authority when peace came. So, okay, tomorrow you go again. Peace. The third time, you know that there's a storehouse of peace that is the cure to anxiety. So you have mastered the test of anxiety. So even in poverty, you go and look for enough of that supplement of peace. And you'll be living on that supplement. And there's peace inside. Because what the devil wants to achieve with anxiety is that he wants to make you unstable so that you can take decisions and take moving directions that are not founded in the wisdom that is in the Spirit of God. And when you live that way, 10 years later, you will know that you are wrong. Now, decisions should not be taken out of pride. Maybe I'm wrong, okay? And Mommy Runa identifies my error in public. And I feel belittled. I feel, hey, if what she pointed out is true, and that truth is founded in the Word of God, the most healthy attitude of a believer towards the Word of God is that we are subject to the authority of the... I should not be ashamed that I had the wrong position and the Word of God straightened me out. Is that not what the Word of God is there for? It's a light. It straightened me out. So even though it looks as if I'm ashamed, I will submit to it. Because that Word of God has been tested, has been tried. It will abide forever. A lot of people took a lot of decisions out of anxiety. And that's what the devil wants you to do. When you take that kind of decision, the repercussion, he will not even allow it to manifest instantly. He will take you through a process first. So that you will waste some years in your life. Right, so when we begin to press more in God. Press more in God. You see, prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Now, what is supplication? Because at the point of prayer, he was actually telling God the problem he had. Problem. He was praying problem. Praying problem. Praying all of those problems. Then God now switches him to the point of supplication. God quickens his spirit. He quickens his spirit. And when he quickens his spirit, God now makes that guy to understand what his own priority in the spirit is, for which he wants him to attend to in prayer. Now the guy brought the issue of his house rent, and then when he became quickened in the spirit, he now saw that his own prayer point did not hold water. It was not an emphasis on the heart of God at that time. And then he was still willing to submit his own prayer point and then attend to God's case and supplicate. As he was pressing into God's case, the Holy Spirit was giving him utterance and was consuming him in that matter. The initial salary that he got from that adventure was... You see, in the process, God took him beyond his own problem and then directed him at the problems that God had. So in that, in God's mannerism, he already trivialized your problem when you brought it. And then released peace. And then suddenly, the problem was not such that was worthy of any anxiety, because you had the supplement that would deal with it. One, if you keep pressing, the first thing you are going to find about Christ is that he is reliable. And that is why in the Old Testament, there are several metaphors about Christ that reveal him as a rock. Are you still with me? Reveal him as what? As a rock. Is reliable. Is dependable. And I think of all the blessedness that is in God, the blessedness that so blessed me is how that God is reliable. That he's dependable. I found that in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's because I am convinced that he's reliable. That when I'm in my room and I pray, I say, Lord, people have gathered to worship you and they say I'm the one to preach. And you know that's not something I can do because I'm ordained as a preacher. That's not something I can do just because I'm called. It's something that I will be able to do because there is a supply of your spirit to make me an able minister, not according to the letter, but according to the spirit. I'm up to date in the spirit because there is an inspiration of the Almighty in my vessel. And I talk to him. I say, make me up to date. Make me up to date. Sometimes he doesn't even answer me in my room, but I know I've spoken to him. And knowing that he's reliable, I know that this is done. Now, the next thing I need to do when I come into the auditorium is to find out, be diligent enough to find out, are you with me? To find out the signs that the Holy Spirit will give me about the direction he wants me to follow. That is all. I've spoken to him in the room. And when I come on stage, I try to find signs that will give me insight on where he wants me to follow. And as long as I'm following there, he comes. And 1,000 times I've seen him come in different ways and in different manners. And all of that is established on the fact that I found out that God is reliable. Now, so the way we operate, our level of faith, the way we speak, the way we live, the way we act, the way we give, the way we fast, is all an illustration of how we know God. Meanwhile, God has put himself and made himself available to be known the moment God made this Christ to be unto us wisdom. That means that's the vow, that's the arrangement that God has put in place for us to have experience of God. But it will take us barging into God through the vent of prayer and supplication for us to now reap those experiences. Now, when I now discovered that God is reliable, and the access route into the experience of Christ was prayer, I didn't need trouble to push me to prayer subsequently. Even though it was trouble that kickstarted the whole process. So there's no problem if people come to church initially, and what brought them is miracle, signs, wonders, no problem. Because as part and parcel of Jesus' ministry, there was a time he multiplied bread, and so that we cannot take that away from him. But it's expected that as you do this journey, you come to a point where you begin to know him. He's reliable. He's dependable. I also know that he speaks. And, you know, I know you know theoretically that he speaks. But me, I know it experientially that he speaks. And if God speaks, it means that he is not dead. He can give me wisdom that will make me come out of my situation. He can give me wisdom that will make me come out of my circumstance. He can give me the direction that I need. Hallelujah. One guy did a contract for NUC and he was paid $100,000. $100,000. And while he was asleep, you see, an old man came to him and said, spend the naira. Don't spend the dollar. Spend the naira. For 3 days, this man will keep, spend the naira, don't spend the dollar. See, what kind of witchcraft dream is that? So he went and spent the dollars. After spending the dollars, dollar rose in Nigeria the way it has never risen before. If the guy kept those dollars, he would have had 43 million as at yesterday. 45 million as at yesterday. 45 million. Even if the naira has died, if 2 million touches the ground, you will see it. The guy, without doing any investment, without doing any business, would have had 45 million. That is Christ as wisdom speaking to him. Don't spend the naira. Because in the future, he's going to write, but he didn't give him the details. And that's how he works with us. So that we will see whether we trust him. So at the end of the day, the same problems that were supposed to make you a giant were the problems that broke you, that shattered you. And you just say, Lord, take me as I am. Some people rode on those problems, those same problems, and they found Christ as a support system because they were able to engage God through the provision he made available for experience to be possible. As long as you are doing Bible study without having your own personal experiences in God, you will be vulnerable. Situations can move you. Some of us are like rocks. Tomorrow will still be like this. Next tomorrow will still be like this. Hallelujah. And for your information, I discovered that we live long. And if my time to go comes, there will be prayer on my mouth as I'm leaving. And it will not be in the hospital. I will choose what I will eat. I've not made a choice of what I will eat before I go. I will do all of that and read it out to you. This life is not supposed to be that mysterious for gossip. Because God has made him unto us. An immortal has been given unto us to become everything to us. A spirit is involved. So, when I found out that God was reliable because I went, he gave me peace. I went, so it became steadfast. So, I now saw other believers that did not know that God was reliable, even though they were coming to church. I saw the way they handled circumstances. I knew that I had received something from God that they had not received. And there was no way I could put it in a Bible study and teach. Because I was the Bible study teacher on campus. So those things, I put them in Bible study, use simple scriptures to teach them, and the guys didn't catch it. So I now discovered that the fact that I taught well will not transform anybody's life. Yes, I found out that if somebody's life is transformed, it is the Holy Spirit that helped him. The Holy Spirit that is the only agency for transformation. I did a good preaching. I did a good delivery. I brought the argument. It was established. The conclusion was QED. But the guys rose up from that place and they had no experience of God. So I now saw what differentiates one believer from another believer. It's experience. And I began to experience this. And there were times that God literally came to me and said, okay, you have known me in this area. Today, I want to introduce myself to you. And all of this is in the vault of experience that is accessible through prayer and what? Supplication coupled with thanks. There are points when you walk with God and God now discloses something that will become the secret to the next level of experiences in him. You cannot but labor in thanksgiving. Thanksgiving will flow out naturally. It will flow out. The day God began to reveal himself to me as the God of power. Oh, it was a great lecture. Great lecture. I was in the room fasting and praying as I used to do before. Without results. Like your own. You fast and pray and there's no result. I used to do that before. And then that day God now decided to show me another layer. You know, so the experiences keep coming and you keep getting updated. And for every updated version of yourself, there are several kinds of situations that cannot bedevil you anymore. And the devil is aware that is a vote into experience, and when you get experience, he will not be such a relevant individual around. Hallelujah. It won't be so relevant. This body was the most sickly body that I know. I experienced some things, the sickness left. Hallelujah. I was in a room when God was trying to introduce himself to me as the God of power. And he came into the room. I knew he was there. Because then he now started showing me how that he's not only in me, he's also around me, he's upon me. But I knew these things by experiences, not by lecture and liturgy. He came as a heat, all right? And he now was on my head like a rubber band, a headband. Okay. If you are the one, move to my leg. Didn't move. Went to the leg. So I now knew that the power of God was tangible. The power of God could be felt. The power of God can effect changes. I came to the pulpit, but they did not know that after that experience that I had, my experiential scope had broadened. So there's another dimension of faith that is that I'm capable of because of those experiences I've had. So God's lexicon in me has been updated. So I came to the pulpit on Wednesday. After that experience on Monday, I said, today, God, the God of power, I've never spoken like that before. The God of power, signs and wonders, he's going to move here. And I was sure of it because I had an experience. Meanwhile, I didn't feel anointed. I was just standing there on the pulpit. I preached my short sermon and we entered into a prayer session. I halted the prayer and I prayed to the God that came to my room. And he exploded. After that experience, I said, okay, now we are talking. Then I came again. I tried to do that the next time. It didn't work. So I went back and I said, oh God of power, what happened today? He said, you did not wait for my sign. You have sign? You didn't tell me that time. So you have a sign. All right. So when I teach, I wait. That is a proof that I'm not depending on myself to do what I claim to be called to do. I'm depending on him. That's how every believer should be. The more of him you know, the more dependent on him you become. And the more dependent on him you are, the less the devil will be an issue around your life. For the Bible says that the Father has made this Christ unto us all things. The more I depend on him, that's my source. That's where I draw from. And then Satan now comes and he threatens. These things you are threatening that you will take, I have access to them and I don't call your name to access it. It becomes more and more irrelevant around my life. And I keep pressing. And then God now began to reveal himself to me as the God that speaks. Now, prior to this time, I'm a student of the Word of God. So I study the Word of God. I pray, I fast, I do all of that. Most times, if God wants to speak to me, he just takes a scripture out of the Bible and puts it on my heart. But there was another level of experience in the order of his communication that he was going to reveal to me. And as I pressed, he came and said, yes, you have known me in this way. Known me through the word. It is good for you to know me first through the word before you know me in the spirit. Because all of your spiritual experiences will be judged by the word. So I did not break out on you then because I wanted you to have your roots in the word. Now you have qualified and you have come to that point where I will show you myself in the spirit. My growth was not fast. And now, even now, it is not yet fast. It is just steady. Alright? So I know every phase of transition I've made in the spirit. For about 8 years, my university time plus the strikes and the NYSC, so I was away from my family. And I went through a lot of transitions in the spirit. When I came back home, I was a different man. Because I have known this immortal personality a little more, and I'm depending on him much more now because revelatory access has been granted me, and that has afforded me the opportunity to hang on to him in many areas of my life. And I'm still working on the other areas that are independent of him, and I'm looking for places in him to hang those ones, and I keep hanging it. Hallelujah. I'm still working on that. So I've not arrived yet. But I know him as a God that speaks. And he began to communicate to me. Communicate to me. All the things I taught during this conference were personal experience. I said, my growth is not too fast, but it is steady. I know every transition I've made, and I can teach you about it. But everything is linked to discovering that immortal personality that is Christ. It doesn't matter. If you know this Christ of which I speak, the problems associated with mortality are a life thing to bear. From sickness to hunger, to loneliness, to rejection. All these things that the devil has used as a means to cage people and to enslave people. If you know this immortal personality, you'll come out of those prison houses cheap. Cheap. And he began to speak. He began to speak. He began to speak. That's where God started speaking to me much. If not, prior to this time, God would just give me one sentence. One sentence. I will live on that one sentence for 5 years. Live on it for 3 years. Then he started speaking much more than he was speaking before. His speakings now began to increase. Hallelujah. And because I was rooted in the word of God, if I hear a voice, I can try it, I can test it. There are some things I heard which were not in the Bible, so I had to shut them down. And when the devil saw that I was becoming intelligent in the spirit, because he attempted many times to traffic a lot of foul words, foul directives that would have derailed my walk with God. When I checked them, checked the tone, checked it with scriptures, oh my God, it didn't pass the test. I discarded it and continued what I was used to. I know in my case, he has bled many times. He has wept. How that his schemes did not work. The devil becomes more and more irrelevant when you know this immortal personality called the Christ that God has made unto us all things. You may not know what the life of a widow looks like. For God to allow the covering of a home to be taken. And we have a few of them here still retaining their smile. I think you need to go close and find out how they survive. This Christ of which we speak is Christ that is Christ indeed. Yes. He is the solution to the challenge of our insufficiency. If only we can turn to him. So I was not following him on part-time basis. I knew my life depended on following him. So I did it diligently. And I took note of every little sign he showed me on the path of spiritual progress. And I held it as a very costly ornament. Hallelujah. And then he came in recent times. Hallelujah. You know what he's teaching me now? I am big. He said what? I am big. So he will come. When I'm making a plan, he will now come and say, this is your plan you are making. You are making this plan like this because you have not seen how I am. I am big. All of these things that I'm saying, is coming from the Christ that God has given unto us. This gift that God has given unto us, how much of it have you used? You are still in the wilderness of anxiety, trying to explain to the world why you are the way you are. You know, in those captions that those ministers gave, you know, one said, Nalai so good day, Nalai so good day. And that one said, who tied this goat? Who do you? You are looking for people to explain yourself away. No, people that have found Christ, don't do that. If it's true that you have found him, you don't need someone to be explaining your situation to. You have not yet known the true estimation of a mortal man. He is insufficient. And there's an invitation from the all-sufficient God for you to come explore. Come explore. Come explore. Come find the rock. Come explore. And I kept moving like that. That's how I went beyond the scope of the curses in my family. I went beyond. And I didn't even know that I crossed it. The line that they drew, the ancestors and the gods drew, that nobody here will pass here. I crossed the line, I didn't know. Because I was in Christ. Just, okay, what are you teaching now? Now he's telling me, I am big. He came to me and said, if you claim that you are a giant. So my my talk about being a giant was a claim, according to him. All right. He said, if you claim that you are a giant, then take giant steps. I am big. Now, don't jump into my class and say, hey, you will meet some things you cannot defend. Don't have sufficient experience to defend. Where you are, know where you are. You must be a good student of your own spiritual life. Yes, I am big. That's what he's teaching me now. I am big. I am big. And we're praying here. I was seeing our camp. Yeah. So, yeah. You see, all those visions I started seeing of recent times was to help my small heart. The heart was too narrow, too small. You know, if you have suffered before, you want to cut your coat according to your size and not disturb anybody and just be getting by. And then the immortal one now comes and says, hey, I am big. I am big. And that's what he was trying to tell the children of Israel. He said, I'm God Almighty. God mighty in battle. I am big. That's what he's teaching. So, oh, you are big. And when the thing began to enter me, and I saw how that my office was small. I came one day, after receiving a diet from the God that is big, I stood on this pulpit, I saw how this hall was. Oh, I said, God, how did we get here? He said, yes. You had not yet known the God that is big. Now, so stay in your class. Don't jump. Don't swap. All right? Don't swap and come to my class and say, Pastor, say God is big. I tell you, I adopted. You will not have substance to back up your claims. It will be suspicious. He said, if you claim you are a giant, then begin to take giant steps. Because I am big. Hallelujah. I am what? Big. Now, I went somewhere, preached. Then they gave me 300,000 naira. Preached somewhere else, got 200,000. So I came home with 500,000. So I just kept it. Then one of us came. I was talking about his school fees. I said, wait, and the way he was talking about his, I think he was dying. That this. So I said, okay, wait. This school fees, how much is this? Say 25,000. See, stop. Don't disturb God again. Go. Another one came and like that. And like that. At the end of the day, I had only 32,000 left. That day. You know why I could give like that? I met him that is big. If you try to do what I'm doing without being where I am in him, you will suffer. You will suffer. I met the big one. And if I tell you some things, it will blow your mind. So let's not do that. Hallelujah. You see, the reason why you are limited is because where you are is a poor place. Who told you the place has anything to do with your destiny? You will not know that this is the best ground for you to be trained as a minister. It's the hardest I've preached everywhere in this country. The last place for me to preach is Northeast. They posted me there. I've entered it. I'm waiting to go to Borno and Yobe. I've finished Nigeria. Yeah. I mean, while the greatest miracles in my life took place in the Northeast. My life. I've been praying to go to the Northeast for a long time. Are you with me? I am big. That's what he came to say. When he was teaching me about how much money we will need to evangelize some parts of the country, that was when I knew that 1 million was small. All right? 1 million was small. So I prefer to give 500,000 today. So that I can have 5 million to push the kingdom. If I keep the 500,000, what can we do with 500,000? Uka, this speaker. God began to open me up. That was when I saw that as much as I felt I was educated and I've traveled here and there, I was very small in my heart. And you see, God could not help me to do beyond what my heart would allow. So God had to introduce another dimension of himself. And he began to disabuse the limits that are placed on him. And he began to tell me how big he was. See, and every encounter you have with God will affect your self-esteem. Yes, because the design is that your complex is supposed to be a derivative of your security in Christ Jesus. Your what? Security. In Christ Jesus. God is big. He is great. He is mighty. And as you keep experiencing him, he begins to show you different parts of his reality. Especially those parts that are associated with your calling, with your destiny. He begins to open you up into it. And a time will come where you can say like that preacher, I know what Christ has given me. Such a man, you can't criticize him. You can't touch him. That's the best you can do. And your criticisms of him will not make him diminish in any sense. Because his current stature is derived from what he knows in Christ. So that which you call criticisms for such a person will eventually turn to publicity. Because it will not diminish him. It will only add to him. It has happened to me many times in this city. What have they not accused me about? Where did it go? The thing that is the source of everything that is in my life, that thing, I know it well. I know it well. So it will amount to a waste of time for me to come and join a pity party to begin to consider the things that people spoke about me. It means you don't know God. You don't what? You don't know God. And meanwhile, I need to tell you practically, I've experienced all kinds of things very practically. It didn't amount to anything. See, my colleague, they didn't promote my one of my colleagues, a friend of mine in Lagos. The person began to complain. I said, okay. Then I now brought his story. How that I was not promoted for 5 years. And how God did the miracle. So she now asked me, how did you survive the 5 years? You know why she's asking that question? She is bereaved of the experience that I have in Christ Jesus that took me through the 5 years. And do you know that a lecture cannot help that level of lack? There are several things you cannot teach. Those were experiences of Christ I contacted. That was when I knew that my security was in Christ, not in whether I got promoted or whether I was living in London or in Asia. The first time I had an opportunity to preach to a congregation of professors, at least the largest number of professors gathered in one place. Oh my. If you don't know what Jesus has given you, you can't preach there. Professors of gynecology, 1, 2, 3, 4. Professors of physical chemistry, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Professors of English, 1, 2. And there were a host of them in that hall. Jesus. Hallelujah. I knew what I received from him. And you know, it happens to me that what I've received from him is deep. So when we access the scriptures and began to talk about God, people that were supposed to be mentally most adequate, they were very beggarly in that hall. And when I now threw a question, I said, wait, somebody must respond to this. Professors were daft because they knew the books, they did not know Christ. Until today, they made me their pastor by force. Before I left to come here, text message has come from that. When last did I preach in that church? They adopted me as pastor. One of those professors died in Lagos. They refused to put him to the mortuary. They say, except this prophet comes. That he must come and touch his dead body. Jesus. Just from one sermon? From one weekend program? I know what I received from him. Don't die trying to be a fake. Find yourself in him. The Bible says we are dead. No man, hey, if a man can make you bitter and you are bitter for years, you didn't find him. And you cannot be helped. Unfortunately, I can't help you. Go back and find him. When you find him, he will release something into your spirit. that will make you immune to that condition that has plagued you all this while. How do you think this woman survived as a widow? A widow to a Muslim. And she was not the only wife. When you see her pray, you will now know how much she has depended on that prayer all the years gone by. And you want to be an intellectual Christian? There's no way you can make God a part of your life and expect your life to be better. No. It's not to add God to your life. That's not what we're saying. You make God the controlling system of that life. He's the one that drives it. Hallelujah. He is the one that drives it. When you live that way, he will be opening up all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff. There was a seed I sowed, and after sowing that seed, God now gave me an instruction. You know, I felt it was trouble to have two bank accounts. Why would you have two bank accounts? How much money do I have that I will not have two banks? Right. So he made me open another bank account. And he said, okay, if somebody calls you and say, Pastor, I have a seed to sow into your life, give them that bank account. Do you understand? I believe the reason why it happened that way was so that I could measure. It will be measurable. Right? Okay. So this one calls and say, Pastor, please, your bank account. Right. So that bank account, I know the number of it. So if bank account number, then I was comparing the balance of that account to my salary. And so when people make demands for money and all of that, it's that bank account that I give them from. A time came, they allotted on that bank account, exceeded my salary. Alright? It takes about 3 weeks for that bank account to run from. And as it's coming, well, if I've been surviving on my salary, at my current rate of expenditure, I will not be able to maintain it. We'll be poor. Because somewhere along the line, God taught me what that scripture meant. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So he wanted it to be measurable. That was when I discovered what the scripture meant when he said cattle upon it. You will never find yourself outside of Christ. Because you are not outside of Christ. You are in Christ. And the Bible says, of him are you in him, whom God has made unto us. Your experiences are captured in Christ. Oh my, you are not following me. Hey, you know, Jesus died. Huh? Jesus was buried. Huh? Jesus resurrected. Huh? Jesus ascended. Now, and you are inside of him. That means you will experience death too. You will experience resurrection too. You don't like that? Okay, let me bring you back. I hope you know that. You remember that scripture? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Now, those things that Paul itemized there are things that are in him. I am in him, and he resurrected by a kind of power. So my experience is within the scope of what he experienced. Yes. I am in him. Because I'm in him, and he died. So there's a death sentence on every inclination I have to the old creation. Pride is part of the fallen nature. And there's a death sentence on pride. So your pride will experience a death sentence. Because of your pride, God will orchestrate situations that are very bitter, that will break your pride. And that's the judgment on that disposition of the fallen nature that you have taken so much confidence and so much pride in. It will come under judgment. And you will have an experience that is very bitter. That will suggest to you that you don't have a future if you lean on pride this way. So you cannot have an experience that is outside of what Christ is and outside of what Christ has experienced. You were actually, so your scope of experiences are predictable. So there are sometimes what you need in Christ is that you need that debt to come on your pride. Ah, he will work it out. It's his hand. We work it out. You experience one shame, but a shame that it will take you time to heal. Not because it was necessary. It was necessary because you were leaning on pride. So it became necessary in the administration of God for you to experience that kind of shame that will paralyze the foundation of pride in your system. Jesus resurrected. Have you not heard that scripture that says, if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead is enough? There are expectations that should find expression because of that. So there are experiences of resurrection. That's it is in this department that you find things like healing, you find things like quickening, you find things like inner spiritual revival to seek the face of God. So you have an operating system inside of you that defies the weather, defies discouragement, defies circumstances, defies momentary failures. Once you hook up to that resurrection stream, that boat can take you beyond the reach of your defeats, of your failures, and all these are in him. And let me show you something. So now that you understand it to this point, I can show you some points, some basic points. Please help me pray to your neighbor. Please find yourself in him. How I wish this thing, one person can go and labor in this thing and then he will share it to other people. My own is plenty. But this thing, you can't share it. But I can tell you how I found it. It's a great treasure. You will sell everything to find it. You will sell all your confidence, all your ambition, the things you had confidence in. And if God likes you, begins to cripple them while you are yet young, so that you give an opportunity to have a very wonderful, highly graded pathway that leads you to the place of supplication and prayers, coupled with thanksgiving. Then experience upon experience upon experience, that's when you discover that God can only be known experientially. Every message of him I preach to you theoretically will not bless. It will just hide in the soul of your mind. And the Spirit of God, in the day of experience, will bring it to your remembrance by the spring of inspiration. My experience of God has affected my prayer life. Because when I'm praying for something, I know what I'm praying for. Now, I did counseling from morning till night. I just took my bath to wear this and come here. So I've not had time to do personal prayer for 5 hours before I came today. Are you with me? And I afford people the opportunity to see me like that because I'm not around. But the fact that I did not pray the way I normally pray doesn't mean that the power of God will not move. In my work with God, I've reached somewhere that I can command deliverance to Jacob as I will do when I prayed. I can command it when I don't pray, the same way I will do it when I pray. And that's not an appeal to prayerlessness. I'm just telling you an experience. Meanwhile, don't tempt God, because I know that we cannot live without praying. But I've been in situations where I did not pray enough for what I was asking God for. And my lack of prayer did not stop God from delivering what, because that thing I was asking for was tied to a revelation that I had experience about. So I could invoke it. Hallelujah. I could invoke it. My younger sister's house rent is 400,000. Every next month now she will call me and say, when I see that phone call in November, I know what it means. Phone calls may not come, but November it will come. Bro, I said, okay, your rent don't come. She said, which rent did it? I don't. So I now went to Abuja. I said, this house that we are paying 400,000, let me go and see it. Well, I went there. The reason, I don't know. I went there. It was one bedroom. One bedroom, one parlor.
kitchen.
But the thing is inside of her workplace. She works in one university, Nelson Mandela University. So the accommodation is inside.
I said, okay.
Because it is inside, we'll keep it. At least I wanted to have, to see, to find out if it makes sense. Are you with me? Normally when she makes that call in November, there will be money. So I will just talk to her and say, this girl has come in again. I don't know how you will help her. After that prayer, you know what happens? I'll receive a lot in that bank account. Pack. 450. I've seen it for too many years for me to know that it's not a mistake. Can you risk knowing him? It's a risk. But that risk will be a good risk if you are willing to take it. He's an immortal personality. He cannot be depleted. He cannot reduce in capacity just because you are making demands. In fact, because God made him unto us so. So make sure he's like that to you. Hallelujah. Now, in this my journey, because what I'm trying to teach is the experience of God. Okay? Are you still with me? Yes, that's the series I want to be teaching now. The experience of what? Inspired by Shala's prayer point. Hallelujah. That's how strong inspiration is. Once I hear you talk, he can promote a 7-day sermon. And we'll begin to go. You will think I studied it. Now, like, I get my messages from hearing them need prayer. That's why I don't like leading the prayers. I don't like leading the prayer. Where is that, my brother? There's one brother here that led prayer one. Okay, I think he's a media man. He's one of the media people. The one whose house is here. Where? There was one day I came and he began to lead prayer. And why did you know why I came to greet you today? No, I came to greet you. As you were leading that prayer, something happened to me. Something opened. For something to open like that, it means you prayed that day at least more than 2 hours. For something to open like that to me. Because I know the energy level that I operate from. So when he released those things, something opened. But I won't tell you what opened. I will show you the result of what opened. Oh, God is wonderful. And when you know him, you can also identify him in others. Now, take this PowerPoint quickly. No, I can't explain it today. Our time is gone. Today is what? Monday. Tomorrow. With those little techniques, you are armed to go on your own personal adventure with God. And I'll teach you how to go into adventure with God. We went to Port Harcourt for a course. And the course was on survival, swimming and rescue. The course that I heard that ST was supposed to attend, and she eloped from the class. It's a very hectic course. Do you know, first of all, there's an Olympic size swimming pool. Alright? And then you know that place where the jumpers jump from? Most of you, if I carry you there, you can't jump from. Just jump, jump, jump. Just jump like this and enter. Most of you can't jump. I looked at the thing and I said, oh boy. If some of us are evangelists and preachers, this thing will not add to our calling. They wanted to show us the viability of the life jacket. And so you put the life jacket. If you don't know how to use the life jacket and there's a mishap while you're on transit in water, it's the life jacket that will drown you. Alright? So they wanted to teach us how to use the life jacket. So you need to fall well. Because you know a vessel, I've told you the heights. So if something is happening on deck, you should be able to jump into the water. You jump like this, and then you enter. When you enter, you go deep. And then the life jacket will throw you up. That's how you jump when you walk with God. Jump. That life jacket, it will bring you to the surface. I've seen it again and again. One of my disciples, she led praise and worship. And when she was leading, she's very anointed. You know her. But if I call her name, maybe you may not. She comes every year for our conference. So when she led praise and worship that day, the Spirit of God came down. The presence was heavy. And then God now whispered to her. As they are going down to sit down, touch that usher. Touch that usher. Touch that usher. Touch that usher. So in that church, they put some ushers close to the pulpit. Say, touch that usher. That was how she went. She just touched the usher. Like, and the usher, a demon began to manifest. You know, people that do praise and worship don't normally do like that. Now, that experience she had was what made her know that the power of God was on her life. And that was the beginning. Now she goes for secondary school evangelism and they cast out devils. In fact, they were casting out devils and her housemaid began to manifest. But how did she know that there was power? Touch that. That's how we do it. You jump into the pool, the life jacket will. You will respond. Hallelujah. Just jump. Don't forget yourself. Let's go. It will throw you out. And when it throws you out, they will tell you, lie on your back. You know, so that you'll be breathing here. So the thing will hold you like that. At first, when we started, it was very, we're afraid. But when we now mastered it, that the thing is reliable. We jump like that. I came to tell you that God is reliable. Yeah, he picked me out. When I jump, I go deep, he will throw me. He's reliable. Let's rise and pray. We want to ask God for just one thing. You see, like I was telling you, Tony, he has come now. He has come. You will see him as a constant. He becomes a constant. He doesn't only want to make you powerful. He wants to touch your finances. He wants to touch everything. He will make. Is it not written that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Every aspect of your life. Every aspect. He wants to work on it. Will you give him the chance for him to express that which he wants to do in your life? Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Give him the chance. Now, before we want to pray, I want to make just a few announcements. Now, next year is our year. And because of that, we want every hand to be on deck. Towards the end of the year, we'll go seeking the face of God and to get clear-cut directives from him. After which, we'll now meet with the workers and we'll now say, okay, this is what we want to achieve. And then at the end of that meeting, we should be able to come up with the strategy to achieve what God wants us to achieve. Okay? And by the time we begin the year, we'll hit the ground running. And God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Can you give God an opportunity to give you an experience? Those experiences are the things that makes the devil so trivial, so inconsequential. Ask him to open the door of experience, that as you go before him in the place of prayer. And for some of you that have had challenges, and your challenges did not end up making you turn to the Lord, instead you gave yourself to anxiety, probably because the extent to which God was expecting you to press in order for you to be liberated from the deception that the devil was trying to bring your way, you did not stay in the place of prayer that much for you to get the much needed help. And then suddenly you snapped and gave yourself over to anxiety and became a creature of worry, creature of tears. Not tears because of burdens of God, but tears because you are a victim of satanic affliction. Your mind was no longer yours. You can repent from that position and ask God to give you an opportunity to meet and to know him who is the Christ. Make That's a prayer point right now. We have wasted things, wasted circumstances, wasted situations that were orchestrated by God to become opportunities for us to stumble on God. We have wasted so much of the pressure that came upon our lives. We wasted the pressure. The pressure was supposed to translate to something of spiritual essence. But instead of giving ourselves to prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, we wasted those experiences in anxiety and worry and confusion. We became victims instead of becoming victors. But if Christ is in you, mortality is a light thing to bear. It's dependable, like the life jacket. If you jump in, you will shoot out again. And when you find that it's dependable, you have no more reason to be afraid. Father, we ask that you take fear from the hearts of your people. Every form of insecurity, every psychology of vulnerability that the devil has been able to steal into their mind, we ask tonight for your help. Maya tole masila tole masila tole malabra askaila. Maya tole mashanta babare no seke taila kobe nasi lekenda maratuze mahalato. Maya tole sela tole malita manta branza lata maratani mansonda. Maya tole masanda babote kesa male broskate barika masaika. Etonda manda baraski saneto kadele tele. Ayato mize nado braskala manda laburoko sabarai. Aiko barandoske za naharanta mele kete mokonda. Maga rahasi mohonde. Help us not to waste the precious that come our way, but to translate the precious into opportunities for us to receive an insight, another insight into the revelation of the immortal personality that God has made unto us all things. There is only one way that God solves of all human problems. He shows you more of the Christ. Revelatory passage gives birth to experiences in God. They that trust in the Lord, they shall be like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. Yes, your faith will change your story. Your faith in Him will change your situation. He will make you as strong as a rock. And when nothing can move you on earth, then He begins to move the things in the environment. And to raise you up as a son indeed. Because He was excited when you had confidence in Him, when you trusted in Him. God cannot lie. He cannot lie. He has not called the house of Jacob to seek Him in vain. He cannot lie. He's a covenant keeper. Never breaks a truce. He brings to pass His promises. He is God immortal. God all powerful. God all wise. Better days are ahead of you. Better days are yet to come. Better days, better days. The story does not end here. The story does not terminate at this point. There are several other things that are about to find expression. The devil is trying so hard to close your eyes to the things to come. God is not a man that he should lie. Your situation is not the word of God. Your situation is not the word of God. It's the word of God that abides forever. Nobody says your situation will abide forever. Don't waste the pressure. Don't waste the opportunity. Don't waste the calamity. Let it become a trigger that will push you to the immortal.
And there you will find a sword hidden by his side, a shield hidden by his side. And then you will become clothed with weapons, with an armor, such that there is no part of you that is exposed. The devil cannot become significant in your life. I don't know where you stopped in your journey. I don't know where you stopped. Maybe because you prayed for 5 years and nothing happened. And suddenly you are beginning to change your mind. Be anxious for nothing. That is a command. It's a command. Don't give the devil an opportunity to use the situation to operate your mind to bring deception into your vessel. He said, in all things through prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding, it shall guard in your heart. It will bring a burglary upon your heart. You become immune. Immune to what the devil wanted to do. Anxiety will lose its authority. Something else will begin to walk in your vessel. And if you stay long enough, you will prove that God is true and the devil is a liar.
A secret place, that's where I want to be. Take me to the place you are. The secret place, that's where I want to be. Take me to the place you are. The secret place, that's where I want to be.
There is a place beyond the storm. A place beyond the scorching sun. A place beyond the many, many voices that deceive. A place beyond the false lies that lead people to false paths. Take us to that place. Lead us in paths that are eternal. In the highway of reality, where we stumble upon revelatory and experiential insight about the immortal called the Christ. Let our journey not end in the wilderness, in the midst of a mixed multitude, with so much murmurings and complaining, such that the voice of God is obscure. Let us go past the outer curtain and come to the place that is holy, that we might hear behind us a voice say, this is the way, walk therein. Take us beyond the cares. Take us beyond the insults of men. Cause us never to take any action on the account of the insults of men. Take us to that place where we can access that dimension of heaven that is called peace. It is written that when the Messiah cometh, he shall not judge after the sight of his eye. He shall not judge after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness, he shall judge and make war. The place where you are, take us there. Make that your prayer quietly. Take me there, beyond the storm. If you take any crucial decision on the account of bitterness, confusion, you are wrong. That's why the devil brought the storm in the first place, is so that he can deceive you to take a decision quickly in the midst of your temporal emotional condition. Take us to the place. Take us to the place. The place wherein there is no darkness. Where you become unto us the light of life. Take us to the place. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Listen to me, brethren. The devil brings the storm so that they can use the potential of the storm to deceive and to divert. But beyond the storm, there is a still small voice. And many are never patient enough to get to the place where they can hear it. But in that still small voice is the voice of God. And heaven and earth can pass away, but that still small voice will remain forever. Wise men build their lives on that voice. Never allow anxiety to take a foothold of your life. Let every pressure that we are exposed to become an opportunity for us to find the immortal. For it is He that God has made unto us all things. You might be here today and you have a health challenge. You have a limitation. You are a good candidate for this Christ of which I speak. Don't waste your pain. Don't waste your trouble. Let's make the devil regret. For Jesus, it was the cross. And the princes of this world regret the cross. That if they had known, they would not have crucified. Make the devil also say concerning you that if we had known, we would not have brought this problem. It's this problem that made him find the immortal. Now we cannot do anything to him, either good or bad. For me, it was the curse in my family and the darkness that accompanied the curse that propelled me to seek God without looking back. Guess what? When we overcame the curse through prayer, I found something more beautiful than the motivation that set me up. I found the immortal. It's more beautiful than my initial motivation. Now I have a new motivation. I don't need crisis to push me to Him. I've seen His beauty. And if any man gets to see His beauty, he will keep coming. I've seen His beauty. He unveiled Himself to me, and I beheld His beauty. Take me to that place. The place where you are. The secret place. That's where we were designed to be. And I will not exchange the opportunities that are found in Him for anything. The other day at the National Assembly, a past senator ran into the assembly complex trying to beg current senators for 5,000 for him to put fuel in his car. If you have never seen the mighty fall, you will not know how mundane this life is. That guy has learned practical lessons that the current senators, if you preach to them from morning till night, they will not accept those lessons. He was there on slippers and jalabia, waiting for any senator that could be compassionate to give him 5,000 to fuel his vehicle. And meanwhile, the vehicle he drove and came, even if he puts that 5,000 fuel, if he drives from point A to point B, it will drink all of it. So it means he has not even learned the lessons properly. The thing he needs to change first is the vehicle. A V8 engine. V8 engine. Have you seen the mighty fall before? Then you will look for a ground that is not slippery. A ground that has assurance. For you to set foot upon. Heaven and earth will pass away. But anything that is tied to this immortal will live forever. The more of him you see, the more of him you draw your life from, the more irrelevant Satan becomes. This is my story. There are still aspects of my life I'm struggling with.
And I know that there is no other solution he has to give me other than to show me another part of himself that I can hang that limitation. God solves all of man's problems one way and one way only. It took me about 10 years, 15 years of Bible study for me to actually get the message that is in the Bible. Yeah, about 15 to 20 years of Bible study. Then I found that God will solve all of man's problems one way and one way only. He will show you more of him that is the Christ. It is him that the Father has made unto us all things. Now I pray this message sinks into your heart. And if it does, it will be the golden message of your life. So big that there's nothing bigger than it. So strong that there's nothing stronger. So great that there's nothing greater. Yes, we acknowledge that the him that is in the world is great, but greater, yet greater, is he that is in us. Have you really found him to be great by experience? Don't waste your pain. It's supposed to be your entry point into a portal of endless reality. For God has made him unto us all things. I salute you with this message. And I ask that you get the tape from the people, put it in your phone and listen again and again. Make sure you find him. The stories we will tell in heaven are not stories of the challenges that you are telling now. When Apollo 11 went to the moon, they took an aerial view, a picture, a snapshot of the earth. The only continent that was seen was Africa. But they did not see our poverty. In heaven, we will not tell stories of what your poverty made you do. It's not there. They can't see it. If you find the immortal, you find life. There is this experience in life where beyond life, you experience the abundant life. When Abraham became old, the Bible says he was blessed in every way. Every way. That's our destiny. Hallelujah. The fact that you preach prosperity and make everybody give doesn't make them blessed. Find the immortal and walk with him. He will begin to reveal himself. And then you can now trust him. Anchor the limitations of your life upon those scepters of revelation. And a time will come where you are consumed. And you can testify just like Paul did. It is no longer I that live, but it is Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Those are the tales that we will tell in heaven. The life I lived in the flesh. How that I live by faith in the Son of God. If you find this Son of God and you look at the curses in your family, they will be small. You look at the limitations that your ancestors died from, it will be small before this Christ. Friends, let our generation explore this Christ so that all nations will come and see indeed that in him is all sufficiency. Something happened. Testimony I want to share. When the brethren from Spain came to us, you may see. Ushers, let the offering baskets go around as I speak. I want this dew of the word to drop. The brethren from Spain came. And when they did come, hallelujah, I took them to Pastor Titus Church. How many of you have been there? You have been there. I said, come, let's go and see one of our church. Took them there. And I hope you know how the shade is. The shade is a wonderful shade. And Titus is devoted to renovating the spiritual atmosphere of his hometown. So what he does is that he puts tape, worship song, a very hot worship song, and he connects light to it. Hallelujah. When I saw how devoted he was to playing worship song day and night, I called him. We went to the shop, Benue Crescent, and I bought him a set, a sound system, that you can put your flash drive in it to be playing it just like that. And he blasted them. So by the time we were coming, there was a serious worship song that was flowing and sanitizing the whole place. And you may not know, that woman is a Catholic. She has never been to a Pentecostal church. That song was playing. Then she saw the children naked, running around, so happy. They were coming to see white people, and they were wrong. Then I wanted them to see a hut. So I said, this is the house. This is the house. It's a complete bedroom. Bedroom. They said they wanted to enter. So we had to knock the door. The owner of the house came and said, sorry, I brought some people. And they said they want to enter your house. That this house, they need to enter. It's not for foreign. They entered inside. Then I started telling them how that there is ventilation. That grass you are seeing up there is the secret of ventilation of this particular accommodation. And I gave them insight. And when they came out of the hut, they wanted to start crying. So I didn't know why they were crying too much like that. Crying. We'll go somewhere, they'll just say. You know what? Something baffled them. They saw that there was poverty. The children were half naked, but they were happy. That's the effect of Titus' ministry. They had nothing, but they were happy. But where she was coming from, the children have everything, but they are depressed. So she was trying to find out with her brain. She could not fathom what was happening. It was a mystery. And when the mystery overwhelmed her brain, it made her cry. When the meeting now started, we started praying. She now asked, what are they doing? It's prayer. They are talking to God. Eh? She now realized why the children were like that. So these people know how to reach God. Because she has never seen that before, being a Catholic. There was no altar call. Nothing happened. But right where she was sitting, she surrendered to Jesus. You know, within, no altar call. Right there, encounters began to take place. And she just came to us for 1 week. By the time she went back home, the husband was wondering what we did to her, to his wife. He that married the woman never succeeded to take her to a Pentecostal church. She came back and was more zealous than by a 1 week experience. The man is still wondering till today what happened for 1 week that changed a 54-year-old woman's life. That's the testimony. I thought when they left, they left. No lie. When they left, she became an evangelist. She had mobilized her entire landscape for our visitation in Spain. When people see Christ in you, how that you are in trouble, but it doesn't move you. They wonder. Friends, let's show our generation that our God is stronger than what we are passing through. That's the only way great ones can rise from among you. People that the storm did not affect. The dragon doesn't kill everybody. I pray for you that your faith fail not in the days to come. For the Lord will indeed will make us plenteous. The Lord will show his great favors. The Lord will satisfy our heart's desires. But I pray for you that your faith fail not. Lord, help us as a people, as a congregation,
cause us to look unto you until we become radiant. And until our faces are no longer ashamed. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.
And so that's my brief parable and my salutation to you for today. If I'm still here tomorrow, and I hope I should, we'll now start to talk about the intricacies of the adventure of experience. How faceless, normal, nameless people went into God, and what the great monarch of Zion did with those vessels. The Bible says Elijah was a man of like passions, such as we. God bless you in Jesus' name.